the obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to a Monday morning. No, it's not the sultry tones of the morning shift, but it is the steakhouse filling in for the boys this week at least. My name is Steak. That's Drew Butler. We do Mondays, and we are rocking and rolling all week long. Sandy will be here, Rusty Manziel as well, as we get you going for 4 hours.
Wow.
Working double shift. I got to pull it together.
Happy Monday. Good morning.
Focused. Good morning to you, sir. A lot going on, a lot to chat about, a great week to be here.
For sure. Tons going on.
And have Mr. Drew Butler sitting by my side, and we'll be here all week long. So we'll be getting ready for Augusta. Also, a lot of Brave stuff to get to. NBA playoffs starting to come into shape, and all the other shenanigans, which will probably have very little to do with sports and whatnot, and share our weekend and everything else that's going on. Dylon is here, Day-Day is here, and we are reporting for duty. How are you, sir? How was the weekend?
I'm great. Weekend was great. We had spring break last week. I know most counties in the metro are this week, so we have tons going on. A bunch of people are obviously heading over to Augusta for the Masters, but last week, me and the girls, the whole family, went out to sunny San Diego, California to go visit some family friends, and it's a great spot, man. Those Southern California beach cities are just awesome. So we had a total blast. Got back Friday evening, took the weekend to relax, watched a lot of hoops.
Overhyped at all the notion of San Diego being the best weather.
I don't know, man.
City.
It was perfect.
Everything to do in a place like that.
Yeah, my buddy lives in Pacific Beach, so he's in one of the beach towns, not in like downtown San Diego proper, but I tell you what, you wake up, the sun is shining, the palm trees are out, everybody's outside and active.
Outside, right?
The food is phenomenal. Everything is fish. Everything is burrito this, taco that. I mean, it's just incredible.
The lifestyle.
He'll never come back. This is a buddy who grew up in Atlanta, played soccer at the University of South Carolina. I think he took a job at his MBA from Georgia State. Took a job with KPMG, was doing the consulting thing and said, you know what, this isn't for me. Moved out to sunny San Diego, bought a small business, and life's good.
Living his best life.
No question. Got two kids now, and his wife's great. So I had called him about 8 weeks ago, and I said, what are you doing the first week of April? He goes, well, it's my daughter's spring break. We might head to Utah. I said, no. Stay right there. We're coming out. We're bringing the whole crew. So we had a blast.
So you get to experience truly why people love that part of the world.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because obviously when he comes back here, he's a big golfer. So he'll come here, he'll play tournaments at the Atlanta Athletic Club, and all my buddies are, how could you live out in California? The taxes, it's too liberal, blah, blah, blah. Just go, and you're like, okay, I kind of get it now.
Yeah.
I kind of get it now.
Different mentality. So you had a great week, huh?
Yeah, we had an awesome week. The girls had an absolute blast. You know, when the dads went and played golf, they all went to SeaWorld. So they had tons of fun. They did the beach. We walked all around. They hung out with their friends. So it was a big success. And then, again, coming back to the East Coast after being in California for 4 days, I mean, I could hardly go to sleep last night. My daughters are staying up till 10:30. I'm like, you guys have got to go to sleep. But the jet lag was for real. Watched all the hoops games on Saturday night. Watched a bunch of golf yesterday on TV because the weather was horrible outside.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed the lousy weather to just hunker down, right?
And I are kind of cut from the same cloth here. I'll tell you something where I think you might be proud of me, what I did yesterday.
Yeah.
I changed out a smoke detector at my house by myself.
Uh-huh.
Went to Lowe's, did that. So got the power drill out.
And honey-do list was alive and well.
Yes. Yep. And then what else did I do yesterday? Cleaned out my pantry. That's a big undertaking. A lot of expiration dates, a lot of things you hadn't seen the light of day. So cleaned out the pantry, a little spring cleaning at the house yesterday.
A lot of mental health can be attributed to lack of clutter or cleaning up or getting things done. I'm like that. My wife is the opposite. And for years I've been trying to say, like, we need to, like, an unmade bed in my house makes me crazy.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Like clutter, feng shui, the whole notion of, like, control if your house is in the shape it needs to be. I took a ride over to Houston's in the middle of the rain at about 4:30.
Good for you.
And next thing you know, I had a little martini and set the house up for like rainy night Houston's, which...
What was the order?
Oh, everything. A French dip.
Of course.
Burger, chicken rotisserie salad. You had the chili on Sundays, the whole deal. Got excited for White Lotus. Got excited to be home and watch the end of that. Watch Connecticut just roll.
Jeez, absolutely. They smoked South Carolina.
Where do you even put Gino Auriemma in terms of just the legacy of when did he win his first one? Is that his 9th or 10th? What number is that for Gino? Oh, I'm sorry, 12th.
Holy cow.
That's his 12th.
And it's his first since 2016, so think about that.
And not even a game. They were 6.5-point favorites and absolutely blow doors.
82-59.
Yeah, my buddies were bouncing on. Seems like a lot of points for Carolina. And I was like, I don't know. I don't bet women's basketball. But Connecticut was it all year long. Of course, you didn't get the matchup you wanted with Juju not playing, but in the game before. So it was a busy weekend. Braves got back home. Would have liked to get that game in yesterday for sure, right?
No doubt. I mean, fun to tune in on Friday night, home opener, bats woke up, some good home runs, good juice at Truist Park, it looked like, and then another dud on Saturday.
Yeah, real bad.
And I tell you what, man, they're not good right now. I mean, you can't sugarcoat. Sugarcoat what the Atlanta Braves are at the moment.
You did not see that coming, which is also like the beauty of sports, which is like, oh, this makes sense. They come home. They'll get on one of these runs. They had the 10-run outburst. Everybody predicted that. Everybody predicted that they'd get things cooking and then get completely shut down the next night. And they sit with an ugly, and I mean ugly, 1-8 record with the Phillies coming in. And we'll update you on the weather situation.
Yeah, Chris Sale, Zach Wheeler tomorrow.
Yeah. So we shall see how this plays out for the rest of the homestand as well. Let's do our 9 at 9 catch up on everything happening. This is the Steakhouse. We've got the 4 hours. We are locked and loaded on Sports Radio 99 The Game. So the Braves do indeed get rained out. It's a 1-1 homestand so far. They get the big night on Friday night, which everybody kind of anticipated, needed, hoped for. And then they get shut out the following evening.
Yeah, Friday night, Braves beat the Marlins 10-0. Spencer Schwellenbach on the mound. 2 hits, 0 runs. He struck out 10 through 8 innings. Pitched Marcelo Zuna. Keeps doing Marcelo Zuna things. He went 3-5, solo home run, 3 RBIs. Matt Olson walked up right behind them, smacked a solo homer as well. They turn around Saturday. They lose 4-0 to the Marlins. A.J. Smith-Shawver allowed 7 hits. 3 earned runs. He walked 3 and struck out 6 through 4.2 innings pitched. And, of course, yesterday, postponed due to weather, they have rescheduled that game for August 9th.
Yeah, Chris Sale, see him on the hill for the first time tomorrow. So a much-needed day again for the Braves to try to pull things
together. Yeah, and Sean Murphy was activated yesterday. Chadwick Trump is designated for assignment, as Stake just mentioned. Next up, tomorrow night, 7:15 p.m., at Truist Park, the Philadelphia Phillies come to town. Chris Sale taking on Zach Wheeler.
Meanwhile, the Hawks last night go out and play a team that is redefining the term tanking. There's a lot of tanking going on in the NFL, in the NBA, trying to get Cooper Flagg. Utah, one of those teams, they get blown out 147-134. Score was closer than actually was as the Hawks come off. I'd say one of their most disappointing even more than that, I talked to some folks who were there on Saturday where Knicks fans filled up that building. At one point, I looked, the Hawks were down by 35 points in the third. That was not good.
Not ideal. And going back to the score last night, you beat the Jazz 147-134. I had to check a couple of times and see if the game went into double or triple overtime. That is an outrageous final score for an NBA basketball game, but the Hawks win next up at Orlando tomorrow night, 7 p.m. tip.
Yeah, they're playing out the string here, whether it's going to be the 7 or the 8. Certainly not playing great, lost 4 out of 5. I just think, folks, listen, there's a lot of benefit of the doubt. Jalen Johnson is down. The Dyson Daniels move obviously worked. Zach Richey looks like it was a great pick as a rookie. Trae Young having a good year. All that being said, look at their record. This is a team that, you know, if it gets in the postseason, we'll play Boston or Cleveland, and then you're hoping to go 5 or maybe 6. But the reality is, all this good notion of building, You're right back to where you've been the last few years, which is you're going to be in the play-in of sorts.
Yeah, call it play-in purgatory. And to your point, 37-41 is the Hawks' overall record right now.
Yeah, and losing with all those Knicks fans in the building by north of 30. Now, the final score was closer than that, but that was not making people feel good. Atlanta United tie with Dallas 1-1. Miguel Almiron scores. Dallas gets an equalizer in the 60th minute.
Next up for United, they will host the New England Revolution Saturday at 2:45 p.m. Yesterday on the PGA Tour, former Georgia golfer Brian Harman wins the Valero Texas Open. That's his fourth victory on the PGA Tour. And more importantly, Stake, that's the fourth Georgia Bulldog to win on the PGA Tour this season, an unbelievable accomplishment for Chris Hack and the entire Georgia golf team, and it is officially Masters Week, so all eyes turn to Augusta as the Masters tournament kicks up today.
Yeah, we got a ton of the Masters. Perfect day to have Drew Butler here. He will talk about the sights and sounds of Augusta. Have you played that course ever?
I have not played Augusta. I've been fortunate enough to go to the Masters a number of times.
Okay. Well, you will be playing it sometime in your future. And he'll also talk about, well, the weather conditions for one, because already news out of Augusta that there will not be a practice round.
Yeah,
today.
Gates are not opening for patrons at the moment. They were sending out an update at 8 a.m., so we will have the live update for you right here on the Steakhouse.
Is there a chance?
I'm sure. I mean, you and I just saw the radar. Augusta's getting hammered with rain right now. So Augusta National certainly does not want to allow the patrons on property to really kind of beat up the grass.
We got 4 hours ahead. I'm Steak. That's Drew Butler. When we come back, yes, we will play the mock. The mock draft. Look at the NFL. Some news there. Lots of fun on the way. Talk to some folks about the Masters. Also, I have my thoughts. I told you Florida all week long. I said, take the Gators. This is their night. I got a different thought maybe when it comes to Houston. A very interesting NCAA championship and big news coming down in college sports as well. This is the Steakhouse. Fill it in for the morning shift. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. My name is Steak. This is the Steakhouse. No Mikey. No Bobo. And Tiffany had her swan song, so she has exited the building. Wishing her the best. A new version of the morning show coming together. Probably starting next Monday, something around those lines. Bo, we thought we knew when he was having his baby. We thought he was having a C-section.
What is this update? I have not heard this.
Dylon, you want to tell us what the update is? I mean, this is breaking news.
So, baby pork chop, as we like to call her, she did a little flip in the old womb.
No way.
So, yeah. So, now with her turning around,
yeah, of course,
you can no longer do the C-section. So now it's looking like unless she flips back, they're gonna have to do a natural birth. So now you're gonna just have to wait on until baby pork chop is ready.
All right.
So we're waiting on pork chop, and we don't know the due date is. What is the due date?
The due date, I believe, is a week from today.
Okay.
A week from today was the original due date. But then, you know, with the C-section, they wanted to have the baby today, deliver pork chop today. But now, again, with it turning over and flipping, changing positions.
Where would you put the level of anxiety? Because I haven't noticed. This is his first kid, right?
Yeah.
And we know the Steakhouse. Let me do the numbers. Rusty's got 4. Stakey's got 3. Drew's got 3. That's 10 just within the show. This is his first.
And that's 9 girls out of the 10 kids.
Yeah, we got and then Mike Johnson has 2. But yes, 9 out of 10. What's his anxiety level? How is he handling it, would you say?
He is definitely nervous. He is it's starting to seem like the anxiety is starting to ramp up a little bit as we get closer.
It's understandable.
But yeah, he's very nervous. I think he's very anxious as well. But I think he's ready. I think he's ready. He's as ready as he's going to be at this point, obviously. But he is still very anxious and very nervous. And then to your point too, if you count, you know, as the kids y'all have on the steakhouse, if you throw Day Day's number in there, you guys are up to almost 20.
Yeah. That elevates it quickly.
Day Day adds some masculinity to the bunch,
yes,
right?
Yes, thank you for that, Day Day.
What do you have? How many total?
Yeah, it's 5 total, 4 boys.
Okay. So it's a virile man over there. There's a lot of kids floating around. Maybe later on this week we'll provide a very basic call-in piece of advice for Pork Chop as Bo gets ready to have that moment, right?
For sure.
But, yes, today was supposed to be the due date, and it is not playing out
quite
in that respect. So we've got 4 hours. 4 hours! The easiest shift in radio is the 2-hour 9 to 11. Now, 4 hours, when you went out on the weekend, or at least I raised my hand, I met my wife at a brunch yesterday.
Perfect. Love that.
One of her friends decided they were gonna get after it.
And this was at Houston's?
No, that was the second stop. But this was at Bistro Nico in Buckhead. And I just said, I'll just stop by for a little bit. And then a little bit, got a little later.
Always a great bar scene at Bistro Nico.
Yeah, got a little later.
Especially when you're reined in like yesterday. There's not many things to do except order another.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those days where if you could find a dark bar to be in and watch sports, unfortunately, it would have been perfect if the Braves were playing. They get washed out. That announcement was pretty early, right? You could see the weather.
Yeah. I think they announced it before people could start making their way down to the ballpark.
I think they saw the weather front. It was not going to happen. So if you got your golf, I played tennis yesterday morning. Folks played tennis and golf early. And then it was just
It started raining like around 10, 11 a.m. It really started coming down, and it was just a washout for the entire day.
Yeah.
So a perfect time to head into a local establishment.
Yeah. What do you think, a pattern of Atlanta? I think people were a little bit relieved. They would have loved was there a good golf tournament? I know Georgia won.
Preceding the Masters, so everybody's in the golf spirit right now, and Brian Harman was in the lead. So it wasn't necessarily an exciting golf tournament, but there was a lot of mayhem and carnage because it was cold, it was extremely windy, high scores. But everybody wants to get the golf bug to bite them as it's Masters week.
Yeah, and lots more. It's great to have Drew here. He'll be with us all week on and off talking about the Masters. We'll have our Masters Calcutta coming up later in the week as well.
I got to have Sleaze call in, too. I'm pretty sure Drew Stoltz from PGA Tour Radio is en route to Augusta this week, so I will send him a message and get him to call in because he's always been a great guest on major championship weeks.
No, he's great, and he's part of the PGA Tour and buddies with Drew, so we'll be hearing from him as well. Speaking of hearing, the hearing of the NFL draft, which is now weeks away, finally, the hype begins literally from the second your final whistle blows in or out of the playoffs. It is a 3-month cavalcade of discussion, whether it's combines or senior bowls or walkthroughs or,
private workouts, mock drafts.
Top of the draft feels pretty consistent that Cam Ward is going to be at the top.
Yeah, Todd McShay broke the news over the weekend that the Tennessee Titans have respectfully canceled their private workouts with Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, which pretty much solidifies that they are all in on Miami quarterback Cam Ward to be the number one overall pick, which then kind of puts 2, 3, 4, those draft picks up in the air. Right now, though, McShay is essentially saying that Travis Hunter is going to be the second overall pick and that the third overall pick will come down to either Abdul Carter or Shedeur Sanders, and Todd McShay said on X, it's a pretty clear decision, in my opinion. Now, I would think that he is saying the Browns go with Abdul Carter, or do you think he's saying the Browns need the quarterback and they'll take Shedeur Sanders?
I think that what I'm hearing is that the Browns will be all in on not taking a quarterback.
Right, Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
Because they're saying Abdul Carter is an absolute game wrecker when it comes to Micah Parsons-type impact player that defenses across the league want.
Yeah, totally disruptive force, playing up front, providing the kind of pass rush, obviously, that every team covets, going on the defensive side of the ball there, unraveling the Deshaun Watson disaster, but not willing to go quarterback in that spot.
I mean, you put up Duke Carter with Myles Garrett, forget about it. I mean, that will be one of the most disruptive front sevens in the NFL.
So then at three, are the Giants going Shedeur Sanders? Are they going Travis Hunter? And then where New England go, who falls in after that? And then, of course, the fifth pick goes to Jacksonville. I saw a mock today, D-Led. Did you see D-Led's mock today, Dylon? See what he's got?
No, I didn't see. What did Mr.
Number,
Ledbetter have?
Number nine pick of the draft is Shedeur Sanders to the New Orleans Saints.
Wow.
Only D-Led.
To nine.
Allow me to clarify, too, because I just said that the Browns would select Abdul Carter. I meant the New York Giants. The Browns here, in this scenario, are taking Travis Hunter number two off the board.
Right, we said Travis at two, so I apologize.
Correct. Yes, that's my fault.
We have Travis at two, we got Cam at one, and then you would assume it's going to be Abdul Carter
at three to the New York Giants.
Yes. Now, Shador's definitely not going four because that's New England. They have their quarterback. It's not likely that he's going five because Jacksonville obviously has theirs. I mean, there's a lot of conjecture around what's going to happen with Shedeur Sanders, but at the end of the day, teams are trying to find their quarterbacks in whatever scenario. Have you guys seen at all? Day-Day, have you seen Dylon? Ninth to the Saints, Shedeur Sanders drops that far down?
No, that's the first that I've seen in a mock where he's dropped, but I've heard a lot of talk about the fact that, you know, the hype on him that was there early on is kind of starting to die down a little
bit. Do you think there's any validity to the claims that maybe Coach Prime is too much baggage along with Shedeur to be your franchise quarterback of the future?
I don't buy that as much as just worried a little bit about possible limitations, size of Shedeur Sanders, arm strength.
Yeah, you look at Cam Ward in comparison to Shedeur Sanders. You see Cam Ward as a guy who could step into the pocket and be a starter in 2025 for an NFL team. I will also say I've always been critical of D-Led. I'm looking at this mock draft, which is in the paper today and on AJC.com. You know, we could easily accuse D-Led of some clickbait here.
No.
Steak, I to your point,
we could easily accuse D-Led of some clickbait because he's got the Falcons at 15 taking Kelvin Banks Jr., an offensive tackle from Texas. But the next selection for the Arizona Cardinals
at 16.
At 16 is Mykael Williams from Georgia.
I just want to say, to answer your question real quick, I have seen one other mock draft. It's from Eric Edholm. He's the lead draft writer for NFL Media. He actually had Shedeur Sanders going 15 to the Browns. They trade with the Falcons. Falcons get some extra draft picks.
Yeah.
They get a second, top of the second. So they get 33, 67, and a fourth round pick. I think it was 104. So they trade with the Falcons to go back into the first round and get Shedeur. That's the only time I've seen Shedeur drop.
So that means the Falcons would not have a first round pick.
Correct. They would get the top of the second round pick, and they draft Walter Nolan in that mock draft.
What do you think about this D-Led notion that they're going to pass on Mykael Williams at 15 and take an offensive lineman with him?
You know, I am in the Mike Johnson camp of I don't care what college the draft pick came from. Just get the draft pick right. That's what Mike Johnson continues to say. Let's just throw all of the Georgia allegiance. You know, we're in Atlanta. It's the school that's 50 miles away. Throw all that out the window. Just get the pick right.
Well, they're trying to get it right for years, but they've bypassed SEC players and Georgia players, which is why.
Well, I tried to play in the NFL for 10 years, and that did not work out.
Right.
We can all try. You get paid to get it right. So please, let's get it right.
Listen, if the school is named Marshall and not named Georgia, even though it might be the better pick, folks here will not be happy.
Of course. And whose fault is that?
Well, the previous legacy? I don't know. Something in those lines. Hey, when we get back, this is going to be a tough one to deal with if you are a basketball fan of this school. I mean, this one will stay with you 4 years. We'll set up the Final Four with you. Also, Georgia baseball has a dramatic weekend. And when we come back, Drew Butler lays out what happens today that could change college football forever, or a version of it. See what I'm saying? My name's Steak, that's Drew. He's Dylon, he's Day-Day. The four of us, we're just sitting here We're having a Monday morning, and you're with us on the Steakhouse Sports Radio 929 A Game.
.642 Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. This is the Steakhouse, an early edition of the Steakhouse all week long right here on 92.9. Drew Butler alongside Steak Shapiro. The Queen, Sandra Golden, will be here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then Rusty Manziel will be with Steak on Friday. We got Day-Day in the house. We got Dylan in the house. It's a rainy Monday morning in Atlanta, but it is Masters Week. As the resident golf expert here on 92.9, I'm very excited. I don't have any plans to head over to Augusta National yet this week, but after today, the weather forecast looks pretty spectacular. Augusta National making an announcement at 8 a.m., so about an hour and 15 minutes from now. They will put out a notification dial on, which will give the patrons some information on what today will look like. Because as of right now, the gates to get on the grounds are closed to patrons this Monday. Practice rounds have been delayed. Right now, I'm looking at the radar on one of the TV screens here in the Kia Studios. Augusta is just getting pummeled with rain at the moment.
Yeah, unfortunate. And Drew, I want to ask you this, since you are indeed our resident golf expert. How big of a deal do you think it is that these practice rounds are getting canceled? Is, you know, with the timing of the tournament, is there going to be any sort of makeup? Will they be able to get any extra sessions in? Is this going to affect the golfers at all? Should we expect maybe any higher scores? Like, how much is this going to affect the golfers?
No, it'll be very minimal on the impact of the actual tournament. Good thing that it is Monday. If you're familiar or if you're a golf junkie, you know that Augusta National has sub-air technology, which means literally they have piping underneath the grass, which can suck the moisture out of the grass. This golf course can dry out extremely quickly. And since it is Monday, look, it's your travel day to Augusta. Saw some pictures yesterday of defending champion Scottie Scheffler playing a practice round with his mom, which looked super, nice. Super cool. But a lot of people played in San Antonio, Texas yesterday, notably Brian Harman, who won the event yesterday, a Georgia grad himself. So people are getting into town. You know, you maybe get out there, chip and putt a little bit, loosen up, get a few swings, maybe go play a couple holes, but extremely minimal. Tomorrow, more practice rounds will happen. Wednesday is a great day to go to the Masters if you've never been, the par 3 tournament. Everybody gearing up for, of course, the action starting on Thursday. So,
Drew, I know you're not going this year. How many times have you been out to Augusta National, though?
I think I've been to Augusta 4 times.
Nice.
Been on a Monday, been on a Saturday, been on a Wednesday, which was my favorite. And I believe I've been on Wednesday twice. So Wednesday is just a lot of fun because you get to walk over to the par 3 course, see an entire part of Augusta National, which you're not going to be able to see unless you go to play or if you're there on a Wednesday to take part in those practice rounds. And the coolest thing about Augusta National, when you go during a tournament round, so I was there on that Saturday, you cannot have your cell phone on you. So you hear the roars of what's happening around the course. You cannot pull up your phone, go to Twitter, and see what just happened. You got to look at the scoreboards. You got to see the manual scoreboards change. Who made the birdie? Who made the bogey? You have to follow in that old school way. So it is like going back in time. And, of course,
and the biggest thing is you got to live in the moment, too. You get to be in the moment and actually enjoy your surroundings and what's around you.
Yeah, and I think you can get one of everything on the menu, and it costs you less than $50. One of everything.
Yeah, do you think it is the longest collective stretch of human beings without access to their phone that exists? Like, let's assume that you're there for 5 or 6 hours.
A nice little digital detox, as they showed us in the White Lotus, is possible.
The how many, what's the?
Well, I mean, if you go, obviously a round of golf is about 4.5 hours, but if you go to the Masters, you're probably going to get in around 8 a.m., and you're going to be there for a solid 8 to 10 hours.
So no access to phone for 8 to 10 hours.
They do have pay phones, little dial up phones. So if you need to go check in with your wife, it doesn't cost anything. But you just go grab a phone and dial in the number.
I think that when you combine the beauty of the course, the outdoors, the history, the culture of what Augusta is, and then you eliminate your phone, you truly are trying to take people, right? You know, they're in a Zen type, if there is such thing in a sports way, of like, this is the only thing that matters, right?
Right.
Because
you're there to be at the cathedral, which is Augusta National Golf Club. And I think it's important to note, there are a few ways in which you can appreciate and experience the Masters. One, of course, is a general admissions grounds pass, which the overwhelming majority of people will have. You get to go in. Of course, you're going to go to the merchandise tent, walk around, set up a chair. You're going to be able to go all around Augusta National. The next would be a clubhouse pass. Now, if you have a clubhouse pass, you're in with a member. Maybe you are with a player or somebody who is involved with the Masters. You get to walk into the clubhouse of Augusta National. You get to sit in the umbrella seated area right there underneath the giant oak tree. That's pretty special. But then, of course, there is the hospitality aspect of the Masters. Berkman's Place, which had a huge write-up in the Sports Business Journal over the weekend. Map and Flag, which is the newer one outside the grounds off Washington Road. I believe the weekly pass last year was $17,000 per badge. The Masters hospitality is of the lore in sports business, which I don't think anything rivals in America. Maybe like Kentucky Derby.
The level of entertaining, the gravitas of the audience that is being entertained there is unlike anything else. The amount of private jets that will be flying into Augusta, the hundreds and hundreds of folks from all over the world, everybody with a different package or campaign. Then there's just the basic coming through there and enjoying it. But yeah, there is more entertaining being done. There is more a group of lucrative men and women that are rolling through there that I would say, and even the Olympics maybe rivals it depending from a corporate mentality. But, you know, and listen, the beauty of Augusta National, it doesn't really matter what your hospitality is because it is built on the most hallowed grounds. I know that sounds cliched, but it's how that course looks, how that course walks, the history and energy behind it.
Right.
And it's also, if you know anything about the members, the 300-plus members that will be wearing the green jackets, they have one very specific charge, and that is to make sure everybody there has the greatest day of their life.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. You'll be looking at a guy in a green jacket worth $1 billion that will be his job.
How can I help?
Yeah, whatever they could possibly do.
And I think to your point as well, because like I just tried to compare it to the Kentucky Derby. Maybe you could try to compare it to the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl lasts 4 hours. The Kentucky Derby lasts a day, but the action is 2 minutes. The Masters, going back to even Saturday when the Augusta National Women's Amateur was taking place, and if you had a ticket, you could go experience it. It's 7 days of hospitality. Yeah, seven days and 7 nights.
What's fascinating is that it is a sleepy town in Georgia that transforms for 7 days as the epicenter, the mecca of the richest, most indulgent, most lucrative companies in the world, all finding a way within that town to rent those houses and get their private jets.
Speaking of renting those houses, and I need this to be corroborated, so if you know, if you're in Augusta, which I'm sure you can hear 92.9 The Game's monster signal in Augusta, I read an article over the weekend that said there is a specific tax code in Augusta that allows homeowners to not be taxed on the revenue they make from renting out their house during Masters Week.
So pure profit.
Yes.
You're renting it out for the week for $30,000 and you're not paying taxes on that?
That's right. And I also know this to be a fact. Obviously, Augusta has a big, large medical student population. These medical students are renting apartments, right, to go to school. And in their lease agreements, you got to leave Masters Week. Bye-bye.
404-726-0929. Do you know anybody that rents the house? What's the going numbers on that? What about those apartments? Any facts and any tidbits for the phenomenon that is Augusta during Masters Week, which is unlike anything that any city has around sports. 404-726-0929. The whole world rolls into Atlanta, essentially, and then the private airports, but all, you know, they all with the same goal of finding their way at some point this week or for days in Augusta, either enjoying, maybe for their first time, the chance to take a brother, a friend, you know, a family member to see Augusta, or their 30th trip there, depending on when to get badges. So I'd love to hear from you what your experience has been and how many details do we know about renting out those spaces, about non-taxable income, which all supposedly has something to do with that as well. So weather-wise, what's the rest of the week look like? Obviously, Wednesday has become, you know, synonymous with the par three, one of the most entertaining days to be there. Feels like you get good weather most every Wednesday. The golfers probably are as loose as they're ever going to be in that scenario. They also understand Augusta makes it clear you're there to entertain over the course of that day. You're there to engage with the patrons. You're there to make Wednesday special. And then they get going for real on Thursday.
Yeah, I cannot think of a better weather forecast that I've seen for the Masters in, I don't know, the last 5-10 years. I mean, obviously today could be a total washout. Tomorrow, 70. Wednesday, 69. Thursday, 76. Friday, 71. Saturday, 65. Sunday, 70.
So we're not
sunny, sunny, mostly sunny, partly cloudy, sunny.
Yeah, so you don't get some of the heat that sometimes you have to deal with, and you certainly look like you're not going to deal with some of the rain as well. Hey, George in Roswell, you're on the Steakhouse on Sports Radio 929 The Game. What do you got, George?
So, hey, guys, I'm a musician, professional musician, and I used to be in a house band that played in Augusta at one of the bars there. And when Masters Week would come, I would still drive in, but they had to let us off because we weren't from Augusta. And hotel prices were through the roof. If you wanted to stay at something like a Microtel, the price for the Microtel Inn was $500 a night. Ooh,
yeah.
Off of Gordon Highway.
There's not. That's why these houses are the only way that corporate can really entertain. It's similar to Louisville, Kentucky, or where folks have to end up for the Kentucky Derby. But I'm just curious, again, what are the going numbers for some of the folks that all empty out Augusta and fortify their year?
I guess it depends on the house, but you're thinking tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, and you understand that you have corporations that are entertaining, you know, their client base the entire week, providing meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, depending on which. Private chefs are going to be there. I've heard crazy stories. My buddy Steve Cannon, who used to run the Falcons and Atlanta United, you know, he was president of North America Mercedes. Mercedes was a master sponsor. Those cocktail parties they have, John Legend playing, Peyton and Eli Manning there with Al Michaels, any combination of music and private party. I mean, it's just, it's a level of entertaining that is just next level.
This is per the IRS tax code, the Augusta rule. It allows homeowners to rent their property tax-free for up to 14 days per year within limits.
Wow. Hey, Cody and Roz, we'll get you coming back as well. More on the Masters and Augusta. Is it simply the best sporting event on earth? A lot of people feel that way. You might have said that about the Final Four, but you don't feel that way if you're a Duke fan. How did Duke blow their chance to get their legendary player a national title? We'll talk about the Final Four, have a thought on the game tonight. Braves try to get back in action, all kinds of stuff. Things like that coming up a little later on as well. My name is Steak. That's Drew Butler, Steakhouse, Sports Radio 929.